Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
The laureate for Irish fiction, Sebastian Barry, is coming towards the end of his tenure and the role ends with him. Since his appointment by the Arts Council in 2018, he's given lectures, he's supported new writers, he's spearheaded book clubs in prisons and residential centres and direct provision. And in his third and final lecture, he has turned once more to his own family for inspiration. Sebastian Barry, good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
Thank you very much for joining us. It's lovely to talk to you again. I read your talk yesterday, the copy of it. It's called The Fog of Family. Will you explain to me what you mean by the fog in this instance?
Well, this is a lecture I was hoping to complete for the first year, and it proved a very difficult thing to do, and I spent the last 3 years going back to it and back to it to try and at least get it as right as I could get it. It's basically about those years that remain mysterious between maybe 2 and 12, not just for writers, but for everybody, where, you know, you are a child and you are, in a sense, receiving the great tsunami of experiences, in particular from your family. And in my own case, obviously, I do believe that's what makes a person into a writer, their experiences in that time. There's a huge fogginess to the time, though. It is a landscape occluded by secrets and mysteries. And I think what I didn't understand, in a way, was that it's the fog that's important to the writer, rather than those moments in your childhood or in your life when the fog clears, because you're always trying to peer into it.
Very many people look back on their childhoods and they say, I had a very happy childhood. It's about poking that bear, isn't it? And asking yourself, well, when was I happy? When was I not happy? And why?
And, you know, to be honest about it, which is very difficult. I mean, the truth about my books is, those 8 books, which are supposedly about my family, I read it so often, I believe it myself. But actually, most of them are invented people. But these are the real people. I mean, the two strands of the books would be the Dunn family and the McNulty family. In the real world, those people come together. Those families come together with the marriage of my parents, for instance. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's sort of the book you don't write. The lecture is really looking at that. I mean, my mother was a stupendous individual. I mean, just this colossus of a person in the theater. And in many ways, you know, was an extravagantly interesting mother to have. But there's other sides to it, and if you don't have a reckoning with those things, you actually are unable fully to love them. You know, you mustn't be lying to yourself about what things were like. And that's what I found, that those 3 years struggling with it brought me to a new understanding myself. Let alone trying to get other people to have an understanding of it, of my family.
And you're clearly mad about both your parents and how you describe them, particularly during your childhood years, the little hand reaching out to touch your dad's beard. We might talk about that relationship and how it developed more in a moment. Mm. But you describe them as being negatively charged.
Mm.
What does that mean?
Well, it's just a simple piece of chemistry, really, physics. My grandparents, especially my great-aunt Annie, but also my two grandfathers. I didn't know my grandmothers, they had died, but were, while very complicated people, I mean, like everybody, Claire, you know, these are not unique individuals in any way, but the child looks forensically at these people, and they were very, very, for me, positively charged. They gave me, especially my grandfather, painter, whose portrait I have in front of me as I'm speaking to you, gave me a whole world of the thing I might possibly do. He thought I might be a painter, but, you know, I did become a painter by other means. So there always, and indeed, my mother also was, you know, put a pencil in my hand at the age of 2 weeks or something and bit me, apparently, I don't remember, either to paint or to draw or to write, she said. Draw with this or write with this. You know, so there was, you know, it isn't, it's just to get that balance. And when you, looking at it forensically, you know, in its almost chemistry way, to be able to say that ultimately there were minuses there that were troubling for a child and difficult for a child, and for the grown up as well. And even though I adored those two people, I mean, the love of any child. I've been reading a lot about, for instance, the experiences of people in industrial schools, and it's obvious that even when the most violent of brothers or priests were softened by Christmas and were kinder to the boys, that's when, you know, the gates of love are opened immediately. It's really quite extraordinary, both how resilient the child is, but also the magnificence of their love.
Mm-hmm. I should mention, of course, your mother, many people will know, was Joan O'Hara, the actress. Your parents separated and you lost touch with your father to a large extent for a very long period of time, was it?
Yeah, I mean, we're more or less on the same island, but the gap between estranged family members, it can be as if one is in the remotest part of Australia and the other is in Ireland, you know. I mean, these are thoughts I have, you know, every day I wake. I have to acknowledge that that's the case. And I have to acknowledge, you know, for instance, my brother, whom I absolutely adored as when he was a little boy. He was 13 years younger than me. I also seem to be estranged from him. Now, I'm beginning to conclude, Claire, that there's something to do with me more than with them. Because there is kind of a flight away from poor old Sebastian. But, I regard these things as my share of, a tragic circumstance in the world. My own family that I made with Ali, or she made it, I sort of helped her now, that I regard as the boon of my life. I mean, as the great medicine of my life. I'm not in any way disadvantaged from day to day, but I have to recognize that there's been a sort of distant sense of not carnage, but a sort of intimate slaughter of the usual relationships between people. But having not had these relationships ongoing, I have to say, I have an immense appreciation, and I not only envy, but I celebrate the people who do have loving relationships ongoing with their parents. I do think that is one of the most magical things you can possess.
And did you recover any of that relationship when you met him then in recent years, in his older years in Greece, as you describe?
Not temporally, you know, not to lift a phone or anything. Mm-hmm. But you have to also settle for what the good, the shard of goodness that you can get out of it. You must settle for that. Because Comte Bean talks beautifully about this sort of thing. You know, you must never go home to your parents and be giving out to them. Because when they're very old, he's, you know, what's the point of that? And that sounds like, when he first said that, I thought, not so sure. But now I think I know what he means.
Okay.
Like, you have to access a sort of, I don't know, a sort of heart grandeur in yourself to continue to love people from whom you are estranged. But it is necessary. It is necessary. It is essential. I mean, just from the level of human endeavor and on the ongoingness of being a human person to do that.
You mentioned that you've been reading a lot about people who lived in industrial schools and their experience. I don't know if I'm allowed to ask you, but is there a piece of work emanating from that area or from that study?
I'm not 100% sure. I spent a year also reading about the history of slavery in North America and indeed elsewhere. I think what I'm trying to... having had three children myself and one additional sort of adopted child, we labored. There. We just labored to give them a safe place to be. That seemed to me the ultimate thing. And I'm looking at those sites, particularly in Ireland, where people weren't safe. And it's just the idea of 7 or 8-year-old girl or boy with no one to defend them, being attacked in every sense, that I'm preoccupied with for some reason. So it may... it may be because I'm trying to sing towards it and find some way to embody it in a novel. I'm just not quite sure at this point.
But it's hard to contemplate those images, but so important that we know it.
Very important. Because we're a child as a country in a way. You know, we're only getting into our teens as a country.
Yes.
So 1922, you know, we're just growing up and we've made great strides. And I mean, as having lived here all my life and just looking around me, having been truly slightly terrorized as coming back from England as a little boy, coming back into this Catholic world, you know, the strides are immense. And I think the mere fact that a lot of people of the newer generations don't even think about Irish history is in its own strange way a beneficent thing, because it's not gnawing at their feet, you know.
Now, your time as laureate is ending, as I said at the beginning.
Yes.
The pandemic curtailed some of what you'd planned. I think we spoke about that some months ago. But how do you view overall the role and how you embraced it?
Well, before I answer that, I just want to thank you and your producer, Deirdre Niflóin, for keeping faith with the laureateship, because this is part of the whole nature of a public role like this, is that, you know, unless you're met with a sort of passion, it's that's the passion of people that you're dealing with is what rises your own passion in you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the main thing I feel about it.
Have we lost the line? What a pity. We were enjoying that conversation with Sebastian Barry very much. But are you back, Sebastian? Oh, sorry. Do you know what? The line has just decided to erupt on us there, unfortunately. And we've just... Yeah, we can barely hear you. I think we're going to have to leave that. What a pity, Sebastian, but it was lovely to talk to you. And I'll let people know now that your third and final lecture as laureate for Irish fiction, The Fog of Family, will be on Sunday, the 30th of May at 4 p.m. It's free, but you do have to book in advance. So here's how you do it. You go to ilfdublin.com. That's ilfdublin.com, the International Literature Festival Dublin website, if you want to register. And I've had a read through the lecture. I'm sure it'll be very enjoyable once it's delivered by Sebastian. But if you want to read the script, I hope they have that available to you too. That's Sebastian Barry. Many thanks to him for talking to us.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.